Welcome to the Board Game Snobs Podcast. Critically harsh reviews with a touch of class.
Aha, so this is the second go.
This is the second go of the goes.
This is the Board Game Snobs Podcast, and this is Jerry, and I am somewhat out of sorts, but it's okay, because Gobby's here, and...
Hello!
Because I'm running at half steam, we have another primary host, or co-star, or somebody. We have a guest. Who's our guest? Jarrod Rutledge.
That's close enough.
Jarrod Rutledge, I'm assuming, barring any unforeseen pronunciations. Maybe it's Jarrod Rutledge.
Well, anything to disassociate me from the subway guy would probably be a good idea.
Jerry number two.
Let's get on that real fast. Do you like the Subway sandwiches? Are you pro Subway?
I was, and now I'm trying to space myself from that brand as much as possible.
What was your sandwich?
My sandwich, I did the chicken breast, and then I got the sweet teriyaki put on top of it.
Okay, yeah, I could do that.
And then
I'm not a teriyaki guy. Except I like the teriyaki boys from Tokyo Drift.
Well, those guys were really sweet.
And sour.
Is that a Moscow Mule that you're drinking there? Because you're in a copper mug.
So a Moscow Mule would imply that I put something else other in here than vodka. So no, it's just vodka.
All right.
Russia.
I'm drinking
gin.
What kind
of vodka do you drink?
I drink, this is Tito's because it was what we had.
Are you the one we've had the vodka discussion with in our Facebook group?
Yes, I am.
So what's your vodka? Like, if you have all the money in the world, what's your vodka of choice?
It's actually a cheap Polish vodka. It's a potato-based vodka, and I can never pronounce it appropriately. It's like Luskowa. It's a red bottle, red cap. It's delicious. But you mentioned that, like, you didn't like vodka simply because it gives that, you know, kind of alcohol, like the rubbing alcohol.
The vodkas I've ever had, and granted, I'm a poor man, so I've never had the Grey Goose. But about as far as I get is Smirnoff. That's about it. Or I could go to the bottom row where McCormick's is at and pay $6 for a half gallon. So that's where I'm at. So I either have no taste or it tastes like rubbing alcohol.
Vodka's for peasants.
I come from peasant
blood. I'm a peasant.
That's fine. I accept that.
I hear, of course, you know, the Russians do like vodka a lot and that's their deal. And I don't mind it, but to me it's what you dump in some Kool-Aid to, you know, get drunk when you're drinking the sweet stuff.
See, that's the worst thing. I don't even flavor mine. Like, it's just straight vodka.
You're just drinking straight rubbing alcohol.
Well, I think it's part of the reason is because I spend so much time in the lab sanitizing with alcohol and Lysols and stuff. I actually desensitize to it. It just tastes like water, which is probably a bad sign.
So I was talking to Jarrod before we were recording, and I told him to save it for the show, as we often do. He has a very interesting job. Dr. Rutledge, correct?
Yes.
You have a PhD, according to your CV that you sent us here. We appreciate that very much. Doctor of Philosophy, Public Health, Specialization Epidemiology.
Yeah. So basically, I'm an accountant of disease and death. So I tally the books. I look to see what behaviors are disproportionately putting somebody at risk. And then I say, you know, maybe it's not such a good idea to keep doing that. And people listen or they don't.
What behaviors?
So in Fresno County, so that's the county that I was the director of epidemiology for in California.
Fresno, California?
Yeah. Okay. Fresno County. Our highest disproportionate issue was always with STDs. So
imagine that.
So we came up with this golden ticket program. So the county of Fresno shut down our STD clinic. So we had no way to treat STDs. And so they thought they saw it as facilitating bad behaviors.
If they can't track it, it don't exist.
Yes. So we developed, and I called it the golden ticket program. So when we had our sex workers come in, we gave them tickets that would get them fair to the county. So they get a golden ticket. And so what that means is once a month, they get a test, and then they get their bicillin, and then they get their ceftriaxone, and then they get their azithromycin, and then they're on their way. So we treat when we get them in as long as something presents. So they have a chancre, which is a painless lesion, some type of burning, itching, rash, etc. We just assume they have it because of the high frequency of partners. And so we
Real quick, aimless lesion?
I'm sorry, painless lesion. So syphilis.
Painless lesion. Okay. Yeah,
syphilis, the first stage, doesn't have any pain with the lesion. So it looks like you put out a cigarette on somebody's skin, and it's completely painless. So they often don't, the females often don't know they have it. So it requires internal examination.
Fascinating.
Yeah. And what was really awful is I used to have to swab the syphilitic homeless. And I had a field microscope, and we used dark field microscopy to confirm the presence of the treponema, the little spirochetes.
As one does.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So when I'm in the classroom teaching my students, and they smell bad smelling microbes, I was like, "You don't know. You have not. You don't know.
You don't want to know."
We have a physician on staff, and I used to say, "She was a military physician, specifically Navy." And I said, the only person in this department that's seen more diseased phalluses than me is Dr. Fallon. And she would just start laughing hysterically. She's like, Jared, would you just roll back on that? This is an academic setting. And I was like, I'm tenured. It's fine.
They can't fire me.
Wow. You brought the gonorrhea doctor onto our show, Gabby. I should have read that. I'm digging through the emails real quickly when you started talking and thinking, wait a minute, I looked at the wrong application. You brought the gonorrhea guy.
I searched. I said, which one of our listeners has seen the most diseased phallus? And Jared came up.
Hey, I'm number one.
That's his number one with a bullet.
Fresno Fire Chief of Epidemiology there, putting out all the gonorrhea. Wow, that sounds I don't know if we have such a well-organized, I guess it's a task force for STDs in my neck of the woods.
Your population's too small. So in for regions that are more rural, you have, like, it's assigned at the state level. And usually they don't even get involved unless, you have like three or more cases within the same day. Mm-hmm. And then they'll call down and say, hey, what's going on? But unfortunately, because your population's so small, it's relegated to state workers. And so the state workers would be responsible for the more rural districts.
We're real rural. I mean, we're close to Arkansas. And over there, if your sibling ain't got syphilis, then you probably don't have it either.
Where's Tiger King filmed? I bet they had a flare up over there somewhere.
No.
So knowing the numbers behind this is where it gets like really super creepy. Like, I have little factoids that are just burned indelibly into my brain.
Like gonorrhea.
Syphilis. Syphilis is the brain, Gabby.
Syphilis burns. Okay.
No, so I know like weird facts. Like, every time you kiss, you have a 4% risk of transmitting herpes. Whether you're expressing a lesion or not, the virus is just there. So
what about drinking after someone?
So what are you drinking? Alcohol?
Yeah.
Safe. Syphilis has the biggest viral envelope of all the viruses. It's so big, they call it a papillomas, which is like a toga. And so any type of alcohol would denature that viral envelope, and it just fall right apart.
Even beer?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's really? Papillomas. It's so big, it just degrades.
Now, I'm only asking that because you know people that have like fever blisters. That's a form of
that's
herpes,
yeah,
right?
That's HSV-1. Yeah. So most
because I know somebody. I'm not going to say who. I know somebody that's got a fever blister, and they didn't get it by any other means other than just having a fever blister. And like one time, I forgot they had that, and I drank after them, but it was an alcoholic beverage. I was like, oh.
So, fun fact, most people get herpes from their mother or their grandmother.
And dirty mama.
Yeah. So what happens is grandma, you know, likes to give the baby kisses. Grandma's been on this planet much longer than everybody else. So the probability of her acquiring herpes and with every kiss having a 4% risk of transmission, grandma gave you herpes.
Oh, grandma got around that wagon train.
Grandma
look at them gams. Herpes.
She's showing me her ankles, Ethel.
Gam, gam. That changes it all. That is, I love your facts. Any other facts?
You brought the nastiest guest we could possibly have found.
Okay. All right. Here's another one. This is fun.
Here we go. Oh, yeah.
So people don't often, how do I put this? People think of syphilis in three stages. But what's fascinating is you can have disseminated syphilis, that syphilis that goes straight to the brain, or ocular syphilis, that syphilis that goes to the eye, at any stage, depending on what your comorbidities are. So if you have anything that compromises your immune system, usually we're talking about HIV, but you can go straight from early syphilis to like neural syphilis or ocular syphilis. It's rare, but it can happen. And it's truly just an unfortunate situation. So, yeah, if you see a lesion, you know, if you see something, say something. we can treat you. And trust me, you ain't got anything we haven't seen before.
That's what happened to Al Capone, right?
I think that's I'm not sure if that's apocryphal. It might be. I don't know.
So I noticed I was looking as I glanced through your CV here. As I'm looking through the correct CV, what's this about EMF? That's the electromagnetic.
Oh, I love that band.
So there was people in California are very sensitive in terms of litigation. And so I was fresh out of graduate school and I was approached by a parent organization. And this was in Oakland, California. And they wanted me to do a study to show that EMF was influencing the development of their children. And so that's really controversial research. So I laid out a plan for them. I did the background research. I did the literature review. I described what type of surveillance we would have to conduct on the children, the responsibilities of the parents. And as I laid it out in front of the board and the parent organizations, and then after about 90 hours of research and work, they said, no, your services are no longer needed. And so that was just one presentation on, you know, how you would prove or at least show that these towers are having an influence on. What?
I direct your attention to one Enrique Zamora. He lives underneath power lines, and I am pretty sure that he proves your study. And so I really wish, if you're ever in the Oklahoma area, southeastern Oklahoma, I wish you'd come down. Well, you know, we could probably swab him. Can we just?
You can't grow damage from EMF.
You don't know the type of EMF. No, sure, I'm telling you. This is
Jared finds that unbelievable.
I'm saying there's some weird stuff going on. We need him studied. Well, he may have a type of EMF resistant syphilis. Like they're
don't disparage Enrique. He's not here to protect himself.
I'd kind of be proud of him if he had syphilis. So syphilis is not one of those accidental STDs. So you can accidentally get gonorrhea and chlamydia, like no problem. It's just like
really,
yeah. Super easy. Syphilis. Your average partner count has to be above 10, generally. or Your
really bad
your,
luck.
No, your partner that you select is a that's their occupation. So you either have one high risk partner or you really roll the die a lot.
How would one acquire chlamydia or gonorrhea accidentally?
So one, it has a high percentage of asymptomatic. So a lot of people that have it don't realize they have it. So any unprotected sex, it has a low infectious dose, so you can pick it up no problem. It's very easily transmissible.
Ah, okay. But it's not, you can't get it any other than sex.
any mucous membrane to mucous membrane contact. So you can get it in your throat, tongue, eye, nose, ears, wherever.
Toilet seats.
No. Oh. What are you doing with the toilet seat? I suppose.
I'm licking it. What else?
Okay.
I've seen that on TikTok.
Yo.
Oh, no. TikTok is a viral something that everybody on TikTok has got some sort of STD or something. I don't know. That stuff. Place is rough.
You have a fascinating job. Okay. So have you been, obviously, COVID pandemic, have you done anything with that?
So I stepped away from the county and they offered me a sweet tenured microbiology teaching position 1 year or so before COVID. And so I got called from my former employees. Hey, how you doing? Would you like some contractual work? And I was like, no, enjoy the ride. So other than offering them educational talks, so like offering to go out to hospitals around my area, debriefing nurses on policies and procedures, what to look for, what not to stress about, I didn't really do much.
Okay. Jerry, you came in late from work. Were you working or something with the kids?
I am ill.
You're sick. Where were you?
I was sick. I've been working and I'm sick. I'm working.
Why are you working when you're sick? You're not supposed to do that.
I can't help it. I'm working around people who are dying or in the process of dying. So
you're supposed to stay home and take care of yourself.
I am taking care of myself by working, which gives me income, which I use to buy booze and the gin that I'm currently drinking. So this is how that works.
That makes you a degen.
I am a degen. You are a degen. It's working out fine.
A degen, that's in degen. I get you.
It's my favorite type of gin.
Are you drinking Hendrix or what is it? Hendrix?
I generally drink Hendrix. I have a nice bottle of Prairie, which is a it's rather cheap, but it's a rather good gin. It's my cheap gin, but Hendrix is my favorite.
That's the only gin I have, only because I got shamed by a person at Total Wine, and I went to go grab a non-Hendrix gin, and they were like, what are you doing?
Yeah, you'll get shamed. You'll get shamed real quick at Total Wine and More if you're not buying Hendrix. And gin is gin. The gin selection there is very broad, but everybody just buys either Hendrix or the new. I believe it's called 34. It just won the international competition this year for being the best gin. I have a bottle of it, and it's really good. I think it's called. Hang on, so I have to look it up. But yeah, it just won the like three or four gold medals in whatever. Whatever they call it, it's some
and the Alcoholympics.
Basically, yeah, it's a type of gin that's like distilled 34 times.
They're tossing a javelin. You see a bottle just tossing a javelin. Look out!
Yeah, it's called Purity 34.
I'm pretty sure Purity, from 34. A chemistry perspective, I'm pretty sure that 34 is marketing. I'm not sure that if you crank it up to 11, it's going to make it taste any better.
What's 34? What's that stand for?
I thought that's how many times it was distilled, but that might be wrong. That might be how many, let me see.
That's how many ions are in it.
It could be. No, it's distilled 34 times. It is distilled 34 times.
Yeah. Distilled 34 times? Unnecessary.
That is unnecessary. That is not the appropriate level of distillation.
But it sounds cool. But there's
you distilled it, what, three times? Huh, please, try 34.
Well, they saw Smirnoff, and we're 10 times better than Smirnoff.
10 times. Smirnoff with your three distillations.
There's also the Navy strength. 34, which has it's a 57% APV, and so ooh. Since it's Navy strength, it probably has chlamydia in it. So there's that
57%.
Did you read the back?
No, it comes with scurvy.
No, it comes with instant hepatitis.
Oh, you know, Fresno, is that where are you at now? Are you in Fresno?
No, we have a beach house, and I'm in Seaside, California right now. So calling it a house is pretty generous. It's 2 bedrooms and 900 square feet, but it's where we go to get away from the heat.
Oh, okay. I don't know why I was thinking you were in Minnesota.
Oh, that's where I did graduate work. So
okay, I saw that on your thing you sent us then. Okay. That's why I was confused.
We didn't do the this is the board game snobs. You got to send us an email. This is a board game podcast about board games. In the past 20 minutes, we've talked about chlamydia, but that's okay.
That's a sporadically bored song. That's like what they base their whole song on.
Which is super weird. Which is super weird. Do the British have chlamydia like we do?
No.
They don't? Is it because the tea?
No, it's they engage in a policy called expedited partner therapy. So
Wait a minute. Expedited partner therapy.
Yeah. So you come in with your chlamydia, and then you're sent home a care package with treatment for your partner. Because remember, it's not an immaculate infection. So you didn't spontaneously develop chlamydia. So they give you the standard treatment for your partner as well to administer and with educational materials. So that not both people have to come in. So both people coming in is a barrier to treatment. So we treat the person that came in with the positive. We send them home with a care package with treatment. They give it to their partner, assuming there's one partner. If they're multiple, we send them multiple. And then you address the issue.
I'm pretty sure if you would send me some of those packets, I could just stand out here next to the red box where everybody goes to rent DVDs and just hand them out. And I think I could cure the entire county.
With every DVD is an STD.
It's like every time you punch it in, like the red box knows, oh, I see you're getting a romantic comedy. Here, it just dispenses it. It just knows. Ah, Sandra Bullock equals, here you go. You take this package home with you.
I like the term you used, immaculate infection. So obviously people are like, I don't know where this came from.
Well, we used to have a talk with our HIV positive patients. And so I'd ask them to list their partners. And I'd always say, okay, please provide, you know, both genders of your partner. And they would say, both genders? And I was like, yes, both genders. And they'd get really offended. And I was like, well, I'm going to go have a break and a snack. When you are okay with this, then I'll come back and you can give me the other half of the partners. And so they would just, I'd go out for about 15 minutes. I'd come back in there. The list was filled in. And so I would get all my partner contacts that I'd have to reach out to.
So there's somebody's job.
Yeah.
Somebody has the job that they must call these poor people and say, hey, how you doing today, Miss Smith or Mr. Smith or whatever, and say, sorry, but apparently somebody has come in, tested positive for something, and FYI, you need to come get tested.
And so here's where it gets really ugly. So I have to give this news to spouses, so usually females. And I said, you've been exposed to HIV. And then I always get the response, but I've only slept with my husband. I'm not allowed to confirm that it's the husband. So I say, you've been exposed to HIV, but I've only slept with my husband. You've been exposed.
I don't know what else to say.
Oh, no.
You should make Zoom calls and give them big winks. Yeah, your husband has been nowhere but with you, wink.
That's, man.
And what's really sad is I got into epidemiology working on nosocomial infections and iatrogenic infections. And then I end up with STDs. Like, that's like...
Wording.
I don't know what any of those words... I don't know what any of those words said, but
nosocomial, I get the idea. Nosocomial is in the hospital, and iatrogenic is like... from surgical or medical stuff, and it, like you get it from
you get it from your physician from an intervention.
Yeah, not you don't get chlamydia from your physician. It's like bacterial stuff coming.
Good.
Oh yeah,
that's a really interesting.
I went in for to get my appendix out and came out with gonorrhea.
So the most upset I've ever seen a hospital is there's a food poisoning referred to as Campylobacteriosis. And so they were having these elders admitted to their hospital for 30 days, and the incubation for Campylobacteriosis is like 5 to 7. And so people that had been in the hospital for 15 days were coming up positive with Campylobacter. So basically the hospital's cafeteria was giving them food poisoning. And so I would get the call from the hospital saying, is there any way these could be false positive results? And I said, well, is the stool coming out of the patient mucoid and smelling like rotten chicken? Yes. Then no, those are not false positive results.
Describe mucoid.
So when you blow your nose and look at the what's in
mucus.
The, yeah.
Mucoid. Stool.
Yeah. It's just blowing out the other end.
Wow.
Like a yellow Spider-Man webbing.
That's what Spider-Man has. Spider-Man has Campylobacter. That's not webbing. Spider-Man has chlamydia, and he's shooting out just stringy bacterial infections, and that's what he has.
Stringy mucoids. I have the power of mucoids. He doesn't take steroids. He takes mucoids.
And every time he needs to refill, he just goes to Chipotle.
Oh, all the...
Allegedly.
All the henchmen he captured, they all get tested later, and they all have some sort of STD and chlamydia. What happened, Spider-Man? Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. That friendly neighborhood thing, you know. We have to follow him around.
Before I fought you, I went to the doc, see?
He gave me this package.
See, that's what Doc Ock's just trying to do. Doc Ock is using all those arms to throw out, you know, Cipro and Rocephin to everybody that Spider-Man's out there infecting with the various types of chlamydia. Stay away from the spider! There it is.
He doesn't just shoot webbing out of his hands.
The Green Goblin did used to be green.
Yeah, that's a green pussy discharge. He's going to want to take that, get that checked out.
You need to get that checked out.
Venom's just got syphilis.
Don't get me started on Venom. That looks absolutely atrocious.
This is done. This has gone really good so far.
This is fascinating. We should probably I find your job fascinating and just wow.
So.
Gabi, the first time you have to look at somebody's leaky orifice, you would not find it fascinating.
No, it's not.
So, I have an interesting story.
I want to hear
it. Please go on.
So, there are different infectious diseases that are classified by their potential to be bioterrorist agents. And one of them got reported to us at the county. And the gentleman was quite old that... got reported with the disease. He was diagnosed, confirmed with the disease, but we had to follow up to confirm that this was not a biological terror event. So we have these jobs called communicable disease investigators. And so our communicable disease investigator contacted the patient. The patient was very angry, frustrated, and yelled at our communicable disease investigator. So I told her, you don't get paid enough for this. Let me go out to the house. I'll call the sheriff just in case, and we'll go and talk to this gentleman. All we had to do is confirm animal exposure, like goats, sheep, what horses, something. We had to confirm that to be sure it wasn't a BT agent and he experienced this exposure. So I unfortunately had ridden to work that day on my Ducati. So I'm in a 3-piece suit with a motorcycle jacket riding on a Ducati with motorcycle boots, and I walk up to his door. I knock on his door, and I hear the one sound that will make everybody defecate in their pants, which is the sound of a pump-action shotgun.
Oh, my God.
And so right now, I'm like, thank God I called the sheriff, and I said, Fresno County, we need to talk. This is related to a bioterror event. And then he got real quiet, and he opened the door. And then we had a very nice discussion. But what was funny... At a safe distance. What was funny was he wasn't wearing any clothes but for tidy whities. And the rash that I could see on his torso is indicative of this specific disease. So I received visual confirmation that he had exposure. And he, again, repeatedly told the communicable disease investigator, you know, no exposure to animals, whatever, whatever. The guy turned his backyard in a residential area and had a horse like you would a dog. And not a dog-sized horse, like a thoroughbred, 17 hands high. And I was like, oh, that's where you got this exposure from. And he was like, oh, I didn't know. And I'm like, well, if, you know, you had talked to us instead of, you know, threatening my life.
Horsing around.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, oh, that was, oh.
So, okay, I fear where this is going, but I mean, he just, the horse had the disease?
Yeah, so the horse is so close in proximity to the house that it is found in the stool, okay?
Okay.
When the horse runs around the backyard, stirs up the stool, he inhaled it and got exposed.
Oh, okay. That's so much better than what I was thinking.
Yeah, yo, no. There were no improper relations with the horse.
You're talking about Glanders, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. That really, that hasn't been around in a long time.
Well, I saw it on him, and you know what?
Holy Glanders, cow!
And you know what? Glanders make swell too.
Oh my!
Nicki Minaj's cousin.
Yes. Rest in peace. Rest in peace. Oh man.
Yeah. Wow.
That reminds me of Flanders.
Just Glanders. Because they rhyme.
Yes.
Flanders had Glanders.
Yes. That's why.
So what does that give you? Big testicles or something?
Yes. Quite.
It makes you mute. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Not in a good way.
No, it's quite painful.
Not in a braggadocious way. You're like, oh, look at the balls on that guy.
You're probably going to be bragging towards the end. But when the pain is over and the swelling is less, comic book.
And I've never understood the bragging anyway. It's so weird.
That guys are weird. That's the one thing I learned by taking sexual histories. I'm like, okay, I'm done.
So, what's your favorite board game, and why? Why is it? Why is it?
It's got to be Pandemic.
Hold on, let me get it. No, it's not. I have Viral up there. I was gonna say, but it's not Viral. Honestly, my favorite board game is Frostgrave, which is
really.
Yeah, I love that game. I love that.
Nobody
game.
Nobody has that yet.
Frostgrave come out, didn't it?
Yeah,
It's already come out.
Yeah.
Oh,
no, that's not the Gloomhaven Frosthaven. This is
Frosthaven. Oh, okay.
Frostgrave's not D&D. It's a
war game.
It's Osprey Games, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was thinking Frosthaven. Okay.
Yeah. No, I love Frostgrave. Joel Eddy and Rodney Smith got me turned on to it. Back in like 2017, and I love it. Fantastic.
I have no idea what it's about.
It's basically wizards shooting each other.
Really cold wizards.
Really cold wizards.
Huh.
It's fun. It's you can build your own narration. It's D&D without the roleplay. It's like, I'm gonna stick a ice beam right up your, and that's about it.
So Star Wars in the snow.
Yeah, basically. And they just released a retheming of it called Stargrave, which is the sci-fi version. And it's a blast. It has some...
No pun intended.
Stargrave.
Yeah.
Look that up.
Stargrave.
Yeah. And you can use whatever minis you have. So,
see, I'm more of a sci-fi guy, so I'd be more likely to get Stargrave over Frostgrave.
Well, you can be anything from like a biomorph to a dollar store Jedi. It's really quite fun.
Have to check that out.
Yeah, and
it's got minis, so I'm already in.
So, well, yeah, and you can use the minis you already have. There's no reason to buy more minis.
No, there is. I'm in a mini painting mood. Stargrave mercenaries, and why I need them. All right.
So those are on sprues, Jerry. So
I don't mind sprues.
Okay, fair warning. Some people.
What sprues?
Sprues is something that you get when you paint a lot of minis, and it's a hard thing to treat, Gobby. Once you get sprues, you really
that brush gets passed around a little too much.
That's right. You get the sprues. I got the sprues.
I got a bad case of the sprues. I need that kit.
Got to get my Nolan oil out. No, it's just the little prepackaged things where you have to. Cut things off of, you know, like how you bought model cars and they have they're on sprues. Those
you're talking
things.
About like the Games Workshop 40K type
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, like it's on sprues. Yeah.
No, I like my minis just ready to go.
Yeah. You like me to paint your minis.
I like you to paint my mini, so it really doesn't matter if they're ready to go. Have you painted Brian's yet of Superboard Sunday?
I'm halfway done. I am painting.
You've only had him for 2 years now. I'm sure he's forgotten all about them.
I got sidetracked. This is what happens when you paint somebody else's minis. You feel like you have to do better than what you would normally do.
So, hey, when you get done, just switch his out with ours if you're doing better.
No, I'm doing a good job on these.
You practice on ours. Switch them out.
Do you prime, or are you one of those that just paints directly onto the model?
No, I'm Optimus Prime. I prime so much, I can't handle not to prime. I learned that the hard way. The first mini I ever painted, I, for some reason, just didn't prime it and got almost done and then noticed, like, part of the paint fell off. And then I realized, oh, no. And so that's how I learned to strip minis.
Yep.
And then after that, I learned the...
You never raw dog your minis. That's... No. You always prime them.
You'll get strippless. That's what happens when you strip. You got to strip your minis after fully painting them. Now, and that's very sad.
Have you elevated to Zenithal priming where you put the black undercoat and then you spray down?
That is so bougie, as the kids would say. I'm sorry, I made him spit. Yes, I have. I have. Where you do the black and then the white. Yes, I've done that. And I feel like I'm all, like, I should record it and talk about how nice it is. But yeah, you know what? I don't. So I got into feathering. Like the minis, not myself.
Keep that in the bedroom, sir.
You know, I don't know if it is called feathering. Did I just make that up? It's where you...
Yeah.
Okay, I'm using the right term because all the terms in painting are like, you know, made up by guys in the basement. So it's like all the terms are weird. But that Zenithal...
I'm gonna call this one feathering.
Feather this mini real good.
The reason why you're having not an amazing result with your Zenithal is because you're using opaque paints. So if you thin down your paints to make them more translucent, the Zenithal undercoat will come through.
Really?
Yes. So if I personally paint with acrylic inks. So if you go down to Hobby Lobby, you can pick up various colors.
Hobby Lobby.
And you can mix
it. My Hobby Lobby.
And you can mix it with acrylic matte medium and get a much more stunning effect. I posted...
Jared, we've already had one doctor on here. You're being too smart. You're using words and terminology.
Sorry.
I can't compete. Gobby. I'm over here looking up puns.
Gobby's looking up squirrel facts.
I'm looking up squirrel facts.
I did find a squirrel fact the other day, but I think I should save it for the next podcast.
Save it for the next one.
Yeah, because this is... Yeah. But no, I've
What sort of diseases do squirrels carry?
Oh, well, any disease where you can, you know, touching too many nuts.
D's nuts? Oh, see, I had a joke, a Dune joke. Paul Atreides D's nuts.
Wow. Oh, that's good. Wow. Here's the thing. I'm two gens in. And I guarantee you, if you wait to the next podcast and tell that joke, I'll have completely forgotten it by then, and I'll lose it. That's a good one. That is a good one.
I had it written down, too, Jerry. Oh. Atreides nuts.
I like it when you write these jokes down. That's
the only way I can remember this gold.
Oh, Lord. I've got the expansion to Rurik. And for some reason, I didn't realize it came with more minis, which I guess is the reason I backed it. So it has three more minis, and so now I'm painting that again. And so I really like the minis in Rurik, and they're all like these medieval looking guys. And so I'm really enjoying that. And I've realized that I can just get my kids to kind of help me. So I know this sounds awful. This sounds like child labor. But like on minis that I don't really care about, such as the robots in Vault by Emerson Matsushi, I've got my kids priming those for me. So I was like, all right, kids, prime these. We're going to teach you how to paint minis. And so I was starting with them. So I'm like trying to teach my kids how to paint minis just because,
They distill it down to where it's translucent.
I'm super critical. If they don't do it right, I make them strip them. And I criticize them harshly. They're 8, 9. You should do better. Come on.
That's when you learn the best.
This is when you do the best.
So this is what you say to them. You lack discipline, and history will forget you.
You come from a strong bloodline. I expect more. And then they cry.
Do you have kids, Jared?
I have three.
Oh, my. Really? Yes.
Yeah.
How old are they?
8, 10, and 12.
Now, explain to me. Okay, so let me tell you right now. That 7, 8-year-old age, that's the best. The 12, that's when they start sucking. Yeah. Yes.
She's my dream. And my son is my failure.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm preparing myself because mine's 8 and 9. And I know as they get closer to that teenage years, it's going to be like, I don't like you anymore. But I'm really hoping that they turn out to be super cool. So that's what I'm hoping for. Fingers crossed. And they're not going to be like Enrique.
He's a sweet guy.
He's sweet. And it's just, I tried my best. I gave him every opportunity. I did all that I could for him.
I don't understand how he doesn't understand how time passes. So like with describing his work day, that confused the hell out of me. I re-listened to that section of him trying to describe how much time he spends at work. And I was trying to create a timeline, like beautiful. I had a mind map of
I picked Enrique up to go to BGG, the board game convention. And it was the first time that we had gone to a board game convention, and he had never really been anywhere away from home. Like he traveled with his parents, and I guess he was like 16, 17 at the time. So of course I called him, got him prepped, and was like, okay, you know, pack, be ready. I call him. I'm parked out front of his home. He walks out of his home, for which we are going to be in a motel and be away from home. Hours away for 4 days. He literally walks to my car in a sleeveless looking tank top, carrying a box of chicken and a biscuit, which is a cracker.
Chicken
and
a biscuit. Yeah, I know, chicken
biscuits. Okay. That's it. That's what he brought for a 4-day trip. No clothes. He just got in my car and I said, hey, we're going to be there for a while. He's like, oh, I forgot. And went into his house and then come out with a plastic bag full of clothes. And it's like a Walmart bag. And I'm like, okay, so this is the type of person I'm dealing with. He remembered the all important chicken and a biscuits for the 4-day trip. But the underwear, clothes, everything else like that, he forgot. So people don't.
Maybe he was going to weave an undergarment of chicken and biscuits.
Or maybe he was just going to wash the clothes in the hotel sink. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure he at that point had never washed. I think I introduced that to him slowly by setting the example.
He did say he does shower twice a day, which I was impressed. I was concerned about that answer.
I think he counts getting wet, like washing his hands as showering.
My son comes out of the shower, and he has got residue of skin, dead skin cells, at least 3 months worth, on his scalp. And I said, have you been washing your hair? And he says, of course, twice a day. I was like, describe to me the process by which you wash your hair. I put my head under the faucet. I'm like, is there soap involved? He said, no, that is not washing your hair. And that was an unfortunate realization where I...
For old dad.
And that's something that only...
Old pops.
That's something that only parents experience when you realize that you have left out part of life explaining to your kids. Like there's like something... Like you see your kid do something and you realize, oh, I didn't tell them about this. They don't understand it.
It's like explaining a board game to somebody, and you leave out this one little detail, and then three turns in, you're like, why aren't you doing...
You're standing at a crosswalk and realize that your kid doesn't know what it is, and they just run out in traffic, and you're like, oh, what? You know, he's like, what's going on? It's that feeling of, oh, I failed. And that's where Steve, the guy from Blue's Clues, and all these people that we let watch on television, we expect them to pick up the
Teletubbies.
Slack. Yeah, we expect the Teletubbies to explain to our children the things that we might miss. Like, this is how you brush your teeth, kids. And, you know, okay. And, you know, the little things that you might end up just blanking on. And then that's how you end up with somebody who's like Enrique, who's 22 years old, and he just discovered taxes. And so it's like, Enrique, the IRS is going to come get you. They don't care that you have one kidney. They will throw you in jail, and you won't be able to defend yourself.
But he is a technician.
He is a technician. He doesn't know what that is, but he is a technician. And he looks like a technician. I don't know how, like, I'm pretty sure if you just saw him.
I post pictures of Enrique, Jerry.
This,
I know you don't get on, I know you don't get on any of the socials, but I post pictures of Enrique.
Yeah, I've been avoiding the socials. I've been real down low here lately. I'm on the DL, as the kids say. So
that's a different thing. Don't.
It's not DL.
No, don't say down low, because in HIV research that means that's something completely different.
Everything's dirty to you, epidemiologist.
No, just this one.
This all. See that would see. I thought about becoming an epidemiologist once. It was a passing thought, of course, because I was taking microbiology at the time, and that's when I learned about. Just being able, you know, stats. I love stats, and I love disease. I love
you. Just like yelling stat in the hospital. Stat.
Nobody yells. Nobody yells stat. That is
false. I've seen ER multiple times.
Nobody does it in real life. Nobody
and
yells
they
stat.
Yell stat.
They yell
nobody
code. Yells stat.
We yell code a lot.
Yeah, you guys
code,
yell code.
Blue code. Anybody
like
say,
you're trying to get into the safe. You're like code.
No, somebody. No, you want to just walk into any emergency room and just yell code, and you will have people freak out. That's like yelling fire. Yes, I don't suggest that, but yeah, like the stats behind it, being able to like look at all the nastiness that goes around. And I noticed that on your CV, you did stuff with like MRSA, which I had MRSA. It almost claimed my life. Back in December of 2009, it was the sickest I had ever been.
Was that when you were an EMT?
Yes, I was working at this. I went to a different agency, and they had very suspicious living quarters. And I don't know if I had gotten staff from that, but I slept in a room with
Jared is saying yes.
I slept in a room with a python.
Well, again, we're not talking about sexual preferences.
Well,
we're focusing on the staff.
If you ain't got a python, these buns don't want. Anyway,
my anaconda don't want none of you. Ain't got buns, hun.
That's
you can do side bends or sit up.
Okay, that's good. That's good. But
you
no,
almost called me Enrique.
I almost did. I'm three gen
Enrique
in now.
Wishes he knew the lyrics to Baby Got Back.
So I end up having like a mosquito bite. It looked like a mosquito bite on my thigh. And I thought, how did a mosquito bite me on my thigh? And I tried to pop it. And then I went home after work and I told my wife, I got this weird spot on my thigh and I'm going to bed because I'm tired because we were up all night because I went to 3 stabbings and I thought that was cool at the time. And then I went to bed and I woke up with 103 fever and an inflamed thigh. And that's how I almost died.
And your thigh gap was gone and you were very disillusioned.
Was gone. I have wicked, I'm talking wicked thigh gap. I used to cycle.
Love that thigh gap. Now, if you had muscular thighs, you don't have thigh gap.
No, I used to cycle. And so I closed that gap. I could crush walnuts. I tell you what, I was one of those weird people
why those people had their bags of pecans at your house all the time,
cracking nuts. These nuts. Come to my house, Artradius.
House Atreides.
I'm the Duke now. That was weird. I am so
Duke Nukem.
Duke Crunchem. So there was this period where I was like, I woke up with like 103 fever, and next thing I know, for a month, I was like, they had to drain my leg. My wife had to, I did something very ill-advised, like all nurses and people in the medical field do, is that you rely on the people that you know to, like, sell, you know, help you out under the table. So, like, I knew this doctor. It's like, hey, I need some antibiotics. I see him, and he's like, hey, go home, get a hot towel, wrap your leg in it, and then come back to the emergency room after you've kind of, like, rested, and I'll cut into your leg. And I'm like, cool. So I end up watching Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman, which one does, and I, my leg felt like I could cut on it myself, and so I DIY'd that, and my poor wife had to drain bacteria out of my leg, and it was nasty, and she still talks about it to this day. It's been over a decade, and I highly ill-advise this. Do not do what I did.
Did you have mupirocin?
No, I didn't have nothing. I just went after it. And it was, thank you, Vicodin, because that's what influenced me, is that I had some Vicodin. And Vicodin, Wild Turkey, and Kevin Costner. It's all you need.
So MRSA is just staph infection.
No. It's a no.
I mean, I realize it's a methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, but I mean, are we talking staph infection?
So staph infection is a very broad term. So there's lots of bioviruses that exist within staph. So they have virulence factors. They're factors that are more likely to cause you disease. So the problem with Jerry's occupation at the time was that he was exposed to a variety of patients that would have a variety of types of staph. So that means at any given day, he would be colonized with those virulent strains of staph. So if he suffered a microabrasion on his thigh, that staph then invades that infection and gets what we got.
Yeah, and MRSA and VRSA and all these types of resistant bacteria is what will kill us all. Because one of these days in nursing homes, we're going to produce some weird bacteria, I think. I have a theory. That's where the zombie apocalypse is going to come out of, is a nursing home. Correct me if I'm wrong. I watch a lot of InfoWars. This may be the gin talking. But the nursing homes are turning...
The nursing homes! Oh, lizard people!
The zombies are coming from the nursing home. That would be a cool show. Write that down.
Almost professional level comedians.
But yeah. It's
Jared, did you prepare your Bubba Top 5?
I did. So, number one, something that I'm interested in right now. So, I have three...
No, wait. That's your number... We go 5-1, sorry. Jared. 5-1.
It's the vodka. So, last game that I played. Sorry. So, last game that I played Downforce by Restoration Games, not a sponsor, with the family. The kids love betting against dad. So, we play a lot of that. I have young ones, so we don't play a lot of complex games all the time.
Jerry played it once and called it Down Snores.
Downforce is actually pretty good in terms of a
betting
game. I
remember everything you've ever told me.
Well, no, you don't remember what I told you.
So what you have to do is you have to add on chores, unpaid chores, as part of the side bet. And it gets really interesting. Number four, board game synonyms, right?
Yes.
So that is unearthly repugnance.
Unearthly makes me think planet. Or no, grounded
synonyms
and attraction. I love synonym. It's my favorite spice.
Unearthly.
Boy, three gens in. This is not the time to play synonyms.
It's so.
Repugnance is a type of dog. Ugly pug is a repugnant.
Unearthly. So space and ugly. Cosmic encounter.
No, it's space.
Have we talked about it?
Galaxy. I don't believe so, but you are aware of it. So this was published years ago. Fantasy Flight.
I don't know.
Not Twilight Imperium.
Do you have any more synonyms?
So instead of unearthly, you can do uncanny.
Strange.
Or supernatural.
I don't know. I'm out. Spirit?
I have no clue.
Eldritch horror.
Oh, my God. Is that what... Does Eldritch mean otherworldly?
Otherworldly, uncanny, unearthly, yeah.
Really?
Yes.
I would have never guessed that.
I have zero interest in playing Eldritch Horror, but I have a lot of interest in playing the card game version of it for some reason.
Arkham Horror.
No.
Yeah, the living card game.
No, I'm talking about the Eldritch Horror card game.
Yeah, it's Arkham
living
Horror.
Card game. I hear that. No, it's not. You don't know what you're talking about. Rick Gobby's just saying words.
Yes, I do. Jared's agreeing with me.
Jared's shaking his head because he's just trying to make you feel good.
How many gins are you in?
That's a personal question. I want to play the card game.
Number three.
Favorite movie? So I struggled with this one. I just went for a comedy that I watch maybe once a month, and that has to be Role Models. Anything with Paul Rudd.
Why is it not Contagion?
Because I get so frustrated.
It's like factually incorrect.
Yes. I get caught up when I play Pandemic with people. I'm like, you're wrong, and these rules are wrong, and you're a horrible person.
Wait, is role models the slapping the bears? Yeah.
No. Paul Rudd. That's another Paul Rudd movie.
Okay. Paul Rudski.
Yeah.
Love Paul Rudd.
Role models is.
Paul Rudd is timeless. I'm like the board gaming.
Paul Rudd is a.
I look a lot like Paul Rudd.
Can you compliment yourself anymore? I am gorgeous.
I'm ruddedly handsome.
Oh.
You look like a fomite. What are you doing trying to make
a
me
fomite?
Look bad? I'm good.
What the heck is that?
Yeah, an inanimate object that spreads disease.
Oh, look at you trying to impress Jared. You've been looking up epidemiology things on Wikipedia? Okay. Number two, Jared.
What movie would I like to, or what board game would I like to be seen made into a movie? I would like them to make a movie of Bloody Inn, but as a comedy in the style of Clue.
Okay. I'm going to cast it for you. Why is John Cleese the lead? Because Fawlty Towers, obviously.
And Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage is the going owner. To be in it.
He'll be the guy they dispatch to take care of the guests, if you know what I'm saying.
Paul Dano has got to be in it because Paul Dano needs to be in everything because Paul Dano is just an underappreciated actor. And the guy who played Harry Potter, Daniel Radcliffe, I like him a lot.
He can be the policeman.
For some reason. He can be the policeman.
Harvey Keitel, he's got to be in there somewhere.
No, Harvey Keitel has gotten old, man. Tom Cruise needs to be like in
you
it.
You don't have the budget for Tom Cruise.
Because Tom Cruise needs to get...
Yeah, well, no, nobody has the budget for Tom
Cruise.
We
really don't. We don't have to... He's like $40 million just to be in something. He was in The Mummy. Brendan Fraser.
We do have the money for that one.
I have recently joined a Facebook group that is a Brendan Fraser appreciation group, which all it is people posting positive things about Brendan Fraser. It cured my depression. I didn't know I was depressed until I saw how wonderful he is.
How many Facebook groups and are you in? That's my question.
I am in a lot of Facebook groups because people send me invites and I join.
You join and then you post snarky comments on all these things.
I get kicked out a lot. I get kicked out a lot of groups, I'm not going to lie, because they don't appreciate my comedy, and I feel like I am the Norm MacDonald RIP of board gaming.
How dare you? Claim to be the Norm MacDonald.
Too soon.
Oh my God.
Too soon.
Jeez. What? He's not only has he come on here and declared himself beautiful, now he's saying he's in the stylings of Norm. Oh my God. Could your ego be any bigger? Oh my God.
I cannot be contained.
Jeez. All right, Jared, you're number one.
Number one. So I own three 3D printers. So two liquid resin printers and one filament printer. And I love printing minis for my board games and terrain. And that's where I'm at. And I paint those minis in terrain. I painted over 1,000 during lockdown. So it was.
Yeah, we lost you there for a moment, but I have a theory. Did you
Jerry's
printer?
Jerry's the only one losing you because he lives in the boonies of antlers.
Yeah, so like a wildebeest hit my tower just a moment ago. Did you use the one printer to make the other printer? Because that's what I would have done. And then I'd use that printer to make
that
the
is
other
not
printer.
A thing. That is not a thing that happens.
I live in 2050.
That's how
man.
We're
going to
make humans
so
for the next 100 years.
Can you print me a kidney? Because I'm currently in failure right now.
It would
now.
Not be functional.
Which is really odd because I've made so much fun of Enrique's kidney. A printney.
All right.
Wait a minute. Oh, we got to ask Jared one more thing. Okay. He has to impart one more bit of knowledge. Okay. If there's one thing that we need to know, our listeners need to know about epidemiologist or epidemiology or just fun fact.
So... what's fun is blood banks screen for all types of diseases. So if you are feeling okay, So if you're sick, do not donate blood. But if you're feeling okay and you donate blood during a season where a vector-borne disease is circulating in your community, such as West Nile virus, if you get one of these regular blood donation, they screen your blood for it. So you'll get a little card in the mail that says, you have Eastern equine encephalitis or you have West Nile virus and you may be asymptomatic. Remember, don't donate if you're feeling ill, but they do screen for that type of thing. It's kind of a fun kind of exploration during mosquito season to find out if you got any aberrant viral diseases that you weren't aware about.
Well,
fun for Jerry, finding out if you have aberrant diseases.
You're not going to catch me with none of that West Side virus. I'm East Side for life.
The Jets. I'm a Jets man.
DJ Khaled.
Oh my God.
That's the best we could do for today. This is the end of the podcast.
This is Jerry, five gens in.
Wow. This was a great episode. This was up there. We have, so far, we had the history lady on, Denva.
Denva, Gallant.
She and her husband who screws in light bulbs.
And Joe.
Yeah, R.I.P.
You're enjoying those lights, aren't you, Jerry? You think that just happens?
He shine his light down on me. And then we got Jared. He's his FUD PhD of epidemiologist keeping Frisco County. Fresco? That's a Coke. That's a Pepsi.
Drinking Frescas, checking out STDs.
He's keeping Frisco County clean, handing out those golden tickets down there. And we've just had so many people on our podcast that are educated, highbrow people. And that's because we attract a certain clientele.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode. Jared Rutledge, Dr. Rutledge, thank you for coming on very much. It was an absolute blast. I enjoyed all your information. Jerry, not so much. Not so much.
The people of Fresca County, thank you.
Until next time, I'm Gabby.
Keep those people clean. Save them from the syphilis. Bygone the gonorrhea.
Until next time, I'm Gabby. Jerry's also on here, and thank you, Jared.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Board Game Snobs. Stay classy.